703.
Moment of your time for our friends at the Vermont Coffee Company. It is coffee roasted for friends. What does that mean, Mark? That just sounds like kind of a hokey thing. Well, it is the truth, because coffee roasted for friends means that the folks at the Vermont Coffee Company, and me too, would encourage you to use this great product as an excuse to pick up the phone and maybe call somebody you haven't talked to in a while, invite them on over for a cup of joe. And that way you don't have to just call them up, you know, kind of like a cold call and say, you know, I kind of miss you, when do you come on over? You can just say, when do you come on over for a cup of coffee? And you kind of get that same message all weaved in there. So whether it's black or cream and sugar or somewhere in between those, we encourage you to pick up a bag or two of it. If you're heading over to somebody's house for one of the multiple parties that I'm sure that you're going to, if you show up with a bag of Vermont Coffee Company coffee, people appreciate that. You might even be able to use some of the product as well, too. Where do you find it? It is at some of the really big supermarkets, the Shaw's and the Hannaford's. That's how successful this company's been. And you can always find it, too, at your favorite local independent grocery store, your favorite local co-op, and you can purchase it online at vermontcoffeecompany.com. All right, we're going to talk about it. We were just talking about what might happen if the internet goes out, and I was joking that you may actually be able to pick up a book and read, which is becoming, unfortunately, a bit of a lost art. We're going to talk to some folks here who are really trying to encourage the youth out there to maybe get off the iPads and the phones for a little bit and read. And let's give a nice warm radio from a welcome this morning to Cheryl LaPrade and also Troy Kingsbury. We're going to talk about this program, the Speedway Children's Charities and the Race to Read program. Cheryl, let me start with you. So how did this all start?
Well, Speedway Children's Charities has been in existence since the early 80s. Bruton Smith, who's our chairman of Speedway Motorsports Incorporated, started it when he lost a child to SIDS. And basically, the mission was that he was going to have an active chapter at all of the tracks that he has, that he owns, and that he would raise money, do events that would raise money and all go back to help children in need. So we started in the 80s. The New Hampshire chapter just started in 2010. So we've been in existence since SMI purchased New Hampshire Motor Speedway. And we're just thrilled to have this in this part of the country and in the Northeast to be able to help kids here in New England. So
wow, what a reversal off a tragedy. My goodness.
Yeah.
So how far is this program actually extended?
It's extended to all eight of our tracks. So we have a chapter. We have eight chapters across the country, all serving their geographic region. Proud to say that from the beginning of Speedway Children's Charities to the end of this past season, Speedway Children's Charities across the country has been able to donate $43 million across the country since 1982.
What?
Yeah. So all towards children-related causes and helping children in need.
Wow. I'm glad you didn't ask me to guess the amount of money. That's a lot of money.
It is. And we're thrilled to be able to, we're in an incredible opportunity. We have an opportunity to help people. We have these wonderful racing facilities and wonderful personalities and the people around those that help get to where we are now, the fan base and everybody involved, sponsors to help these events do well and then therefore turn back and be able to help nonprofit children organizations.
How are you raising $43 million?
We do various things from right now at the track. We have the Gift of Lights, which is a drive-through holiday light extravaganza. We also do golf tournaments. This past year, we did a great new event called a clay shoot, which was a skeet shooting tournament. We have track walks. We do laps for charity. We do breakfasts. We do different dinners. One of our signature events that we do is called the Red Bucket Brigade that Jerry Gappens, the general manager at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, had this image of, we've got to get past the bucket. He was at a Billy Graham event one time, and he said, wouldn't it be great if we could pass something like that at a racetrack, because we've got 100,000 fans there. Wouldn't that be great? And then we instantly thought, but we better get a cover on that. We came up with the Red Bucket Brigade. And so we have red buckets that are passed through the crowd by volunteers during our NASCAR Sprint Cup race. And so that event alone brings in $50,000 to $70,000 in a year to us.
Wow.
So It's there are things like that throughout the year that are scattered, and certainly we count on the drivers to make appearances and do things with us, and they're wonderful, and they support us with that.
Yeah, boy, I could just hear Ken's wheels spinning downstairs on this. I'm sure he's already ordering the buckets. So, Troy, thanks for coming in, too. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So, can you talk a little bit about this effort to try to get kids to read? I mean, this really is a challenge.
I should start by saying I have a 13-year-old boy. He doesn't read. I mean, I'm trying, but it's really hard.
Yeah.
And I think technology overall is battling against us, because you start with kids when they're early and they're watching Barney or all the TV, you know, for educational television, and that slowly transitions to leap pads, which you think is an educational game, but then that moves to the iPads, and then all of a sudden they're hooked into their phones and they're texting, and the books, they don't happen. So,
man, that Barney thing, you know,
starts with Barney,
and
it's downhill from there.
Yep.
So, came across
maybe we need filmmaker Bess O'Brien to do, you know, the movie about Barney or something.
That's a downfall of modern society. Absolutely. Yep. So, a couple years ago, I saw the idea out there. It's not the newest idea, but it's getting a race car and trying to excite kids. And I was just starting my little racing career at Thunder Road. I was a couple years in, and I've had my wife race the car. I had our bus driver race the car, and I thought, you know, it'd be really cool if I could get kids involved. So I was told by a friend to go see Duncan McDougall, who is the director of the Children's Literacy Foundation. And I had some ideas with him and talked to him. And then I went off, and the first school I went to was my old high school principal school, the Warren School, because I grew up in Warren.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to talk him into driving a race car during the middle of the day at recess to the playground. And I did, and kids went bonkers.
Wow.
And it was show and tell. I basically opened up the hood, talked about everything, and then I set the challenge to the kids. I said, all right, guys, if you read 15 books, I'm going to come back here with all these markers, and you're going to be able to sign the hood of my car. And it only took them like 8 weeks, and we had a ton of kids read 15 books. That year in 2012, I think we did go to a couple of their other Valley schools, and I went to the Williamstown School. And in 1 year, we had over 4,000 books read. But, Mark, here's a question for you. In elementary school, what events do you remember?
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, so when I grew up, I broke my leg in I think, fifth grade. I remember that. And Nancy Phillips, a teacher, if you went and got caught in school, she took your hat, and you didn't get it for the rest of the school year. So those are the big events.
Uh-huh.
But you don't remember the daily lesson plans or any of the educational stuff that was taught to you. I mean, you read, and you passed your grades, and you did well,
right,
but you don't remember anything. I will guarantee you that when all these little kids that I've gone to schools and visited and they've seen me drive in, they're going to remember when they're 20, 30, 40, 50, until they die. Oh, my God, I remember when there's this guy that came to our school with a race car.
Right.
And the message is simple. Anything you want to do in life, if you read, you'll find out more about whether you want to be a veterinarian or a radio talk show host or a race car driver. It's
mm-hmm.
all about reading.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been fortunate enough to partner with Cliff in a couple events throughout the years. And they've been strong supporters. And it's not a competition. We're there to help embellish the programs that are already out there. Everybody Wins Vermont is right here in Waterbury.
Yep.
Had an event where they actually take adult mentors, gets involved with the schools, helping the kids read. Well, they read the 15 books. I will show up with a race car and to get the kids to sign. I've gone to birthday parties. Basically, we go
that's
anywhere.
Cool.
And we don't charge. The biggest thing is, like, in the past, we just, I'd fill up my truck with gas, and then I'd tell my wife, hey, I got to go, and it's Friday, and we'd go do school visits. And I was fortunate enough to find a friend, Logan Cook, who, as I'm like, the guy who's thinking of the ideas, he's right behind me, or actually right beside me most of the times, taking the pictures, making these incredible little films, and he puts it on the racetoread.org website. So he did all the back-end things. So when you put that together, it's a whole package. Kids get to see, like, the videos. They get excited. And it's about a race car. And
right.
I never would have imagined that. And young girls are probably the best, because they have the talent of reading, and boys are like off doing stuff, but they can shine, and they're usually the ones who are leading the pack. So it's very empowering for little girls. But the other thing is we really try to reach out into the sticks. You know, it's not going to Burlington and doing this. It's going to East Hardwick. I've gone to a daycare center all the way up in Eden. We go to Braintree, Williamstown. We go to anywhere that there's kids. And we want to serve all kids, whether you have abilities or disabilities. We have one kid who couldn't read books because he just had a really difficult time with that. But he read newspaper articles. And through his IEP, which is an individualized education plan, we counted that. And basically, we give the schools the incentive to include all kids to be part of this program.
Wow. All right. You know what Troy's problem is? He doesn't have any enthusiasm, Cheryl.
No, it's I'll tell you what. You know, when you think of Race to Read in this program, this is a huge opportunity for us. And the marriage between racing and reading, it's just, it was meant to be. And it's so, you know, to have Ken bring this information in front of us and to get to know this, it's so wonderful to see this happen because there is a need for this and to try to move away from the electronics and try to help the at-risk and, you know, the children that need that help to get the help that they need to learn this.
So we just should change it to reading, writing, and racing instead of arithmetic.
Well, and Mark,
I mean, it actually starts with an R.
Here's the thing, though. If I'm physically strong or talented, I could play hockey, I could play soccer, I could ski, I could do any sport. Auto racing, it doesn't matter your physical condition because you can make accommodations to compete.
Right.
You have to be smart. You have to know about geometry and a car setup. You have to read the rules. You have to read ways to get around the rules to be faster than your competitors. So there's so much education involved and so much math and science and everything else that's involved with auto racing. And that's like the part that kind of took me by surprise originally because I just thought, you know, a couple guys in the back room, grease monkey, and, you know, just doing that.
Yeah, like if Phil Scott can do it, anybody can
I'm a horrible race car driver because when you're on the track, there's a whole thing like your friends off the track, but you're on the track, you have no friends.
Uh-huh.
Then you could be able to cut people off and do all that other stuff. I could never get over that hump. So I always thought, like, all right, I like that
person.
That's
rude.
You
put on your blinker out there.
I can tell you what, though. After a couple of years of racing at Thunder Road, I can totally drive Montreal, Boston, and New York City with no problems.
So Cheryl, what's the connection with Speedway Children's Charities and Race to Read? How does it connect together?
Yeah, well, basically what happens with our the funding that we give every year is done through a grant process. And so we have a grant application that nonprofit children organizations, if they're interested in receiving money from us, will fill out. And so Ken and Troy and the group Race to Read had filled out a grant application in order to receive money from us. And so it was put through the review process. We, this year alone, gave 52 different nonprofit children organizations grants, totaling just under $300,000. So Race to Read being one of those wonderful organizations that was chosen this year.
And we can mention the amount, right? $10,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Mark, so basically,
all right, calm down.
The last 2 years, Race to Read was like pretty much funded just by me and a couple sponsors because I had these ideas and I had race car sponsors that would give me money for the race car.
Right.
And then I'd take it and give it to different drivers to go show up at a school or buy the books. Or I talked to the guy, Anthony, who owns Pizza Putt, and he also has a t-shirt shop, and he gave us t-shirts at a discount. And
wow.
So we try to get a lot of people to pitch in a little bit so it wouldn't cost anybody a lot.
Right.
But we're doing it off our shoestrings. Like, I'd tell somebody to show up at our store and then fill up their gas cans, and then they would take off and they'd go visit a school. So what Speedway Charities, Children's Charities, has done is really made us like an organization. So now we actually have money. We're not, you know, begging from Peter and paying Paul. We're actually got the funds now where we can go out and find somebody who kind of is going to be more
organized.
Yeah. That's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll be the person who's helping us go to the school visits. What I envision is being at the track every week at Thunder Road during the summertime, because kids read all school year. In the summertime, they have no incentive.
Right.
So we're going to try to develop a program, hopefully working with the Children Literacy Foundation and other organizations that are already out there. It would be great to tie into the local libraries and their summer reading programs, youth groups, and use the excitement of an automobile, like a race car, to show up and really excite kids about their summer reading.
Here's the obnoxious question that I have to ask. How do you know these kids actually read these books?
Well, it's funny you should ask. So basically, when you show up, the kids have this little form, which you can see the folders behind me.
Yeah.
They have a ton of different forms they fill out.
Did you ask Cheryl to carry those in? I mean, you got more.
I know.
Good grief.
We had to get like a whole crew of people.
You need like a trolley.
So there's individual books, and they have the book name, the author, and the signature. And then on the other forms, they actually say, what's your favorite part? So you're talking to the kids about, hey, you know, you read Curious George. You know, what did you like about that?
Yeah.
And you try to engage.
What about the man with the hat?
But the other part was you get teachers or you get parents, or it could be a coordinator for a summer program to sign off and to actually get engaged with the child. I know you've been talking about education, and the way I look at this is education is probably our country's biggest expense overall. And yet we leave it up to the teachers and the parents, for the most part, to make sure these kids go through the system. And wouldn't it be great if we got everybody involved a little bit, because that's our country's future. And if we could get those kids impassioned about reading, whatever it is that they want, when they get older, maybe instead of getting a job at one location and earning a certain wage, that they're impassioned and they go up to that next level, which is a higher tax base, which is more creativity for the country. There's so much possibility. And if you know, you just engage the kids.
Wow. Aren't you glad you gave this guy money?
I know. Jesus. I mean, it seems like it was made. This was just a joint thing made in heaven.
I don't know how he didn't get $20,000 out of you.
We didn't know what to ask
him. It is. It's just, and also I think engaging, you know, from a NASCAR perspective, I think it's just a wonderful thing to engage children into this sport. It's giving them a knowledge of racing. It's also wanting, hey, mom and dad, I want to go to that. I want to go to that short track race. I want to do that. You know, we want to see that demographic grow. We want to get the younger population involved in that too. So on top of learning how to read and being excited about it, they get to actually go and do something that's really cool as a family, as a community, and everyone kind of is pulling together to make it happen. So,
and then the other thing is, you learn about the safety features. So, you know, I always show the kids the seatbelts, of how important a seatbelt is, and like, what do you have to wear when you're in a car accident, and how that can save you from a certain bodily harm. And then we talk about fuel economy, and then we talk about, even though you're losing a lot of fuel at a NASCAR race, if you think about the technological advances and how it's affected the whole auto industry and how that possibly could affect our whole climate change, I mean, all this stuff ties in together, you know? And you're not going to get that, you know, playing baseball or football.
Yeah, yeah. Let me put those on. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free, 877-291-8255. I mean, baseball, you have to do is count to, what, three or four, you know, three strikes, four balls. That's pretty easy. Let's go to Barry. Tom, good morning.
Yeah, I had a quick question. Is that Christmas lights thing at the track now? So if this weekend we wanted to ride down, and she could talk about that, and I'll just hang up and listen.
All right. Okay.
Yes, actually, Tom, it is. It's going on right now, and it starts at 4:30 in the day and ends at 9 o'clock at night, and it's running all the way through January 3rd, with the exception it is closed on Christmas Day.
Thank you for your call. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free, 877-291-8255. We've been talking with Troy Kingsbury and also Cheryl LaPrade. Cheryl is with the Speedway Children's Charities. We've also been talking about the Race to Read program. Let me take a moment of your time to remind you about our good friends at Red Hen Cafe and Bakery. Hey, if you're looking for a nice event this evening, they have a little wine tasting that's coming up starting at 6 o'clock, and a fun event for you to check out. You can go to their website at redhenbaking.com and get more information about that. Or you can just scoot on down to the cafe, maybe even sometime today. Want to get your orders in too. They need your order by tomorrow if you want to get yourself one of their fabulous pies for the holidays here. They make an incredible pumpkin pie. I would have to say that the Red Hen Cafe and Bakery pumpkin pie, I have never had a better pumpkin pie than that. They make a delicious apple pie, too. All their products are outstanding. Stop down there for lunch today. Get your order in, and then you can just hang around all afternoon until the wine tasting this evening. Red Hen Cafe and Bakery, you bring a book. You know, maybe you could kill a little time reading a book. Red Hen Cafe and Bakery, right off of Interstate 89 exit 9 in Middlesex. Our numbers on the program are 244-1777 is our local number, toll-free 877-291-8255. You know what I liked about your last answer? You were candid enough to admit that part of what the strategy here is to develop the next generation of fans. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, thank you for being honest about that.
Well, I think obviously we're in a situation where it is that we need to find a demographic. We need to engage the younger people. And you know, certainly as I'm a perfect example from the perspective that I never had anything. I'd never gone to a NASCAR race. I didn't really have an interest. And someone who we knew, I had my two little boys and my husband, and someone gave us tickets to go see a race at New Hampshire Motor Speedway.
And it was a Barney moment. You were hooked.
And well, I'll tell you what, it's like a modern day gladiator event. My husband and I kind of looked at each other. Our kids were huddled down with their headphones on, you know, like, because they were, I don't know, maybe 4 and 6 at the time. They said, gentlemen, start your engines, because at that point Danica wasn't racing. And it was life-changing, really. We looked at each other and said, this is incredible. And so it's an incredible opportunity to experience something, but also be able to raise people's awareness about what NASCAR is. And, you know, there's a lot of good that comes from NASCAR as far as the people involved in that. There's a lot of charitable things that are going on in the world of NASCAR, and I'm glad to be a part of it, and just am grateful that we're in a position that we can do these things and these events throughout the year that can go back and help our local communities, because certainly we are wanting to make sure that we have help and funding for organizations that need it.
So, Troy, how can people here in Vermont, you know, find you? So how's this going to work in 2015 that people want to have you come, like, you know, maybe my birthday party or something?
Well, it wouldn't be me, because I actually, I realized that if it was Troy Kingsbury's Race to Read, and I was always the guy, that it would probably fail when I got done racing. So I ended up selling my race car this year to Mark Lamphere in Waterbury, and I'm trying to talk his daughter, who's 15, into being our next Race to Read driver.
All right.
But I have Kyle Streeter, who's a 19-year-old, who was our street stock driver this last year in the Race to Read, and we have another Tiger driver his name's Cameron Ouellette, who is from Barrie. So the goal was to step away from the front end of things and to try to pick up some of the weight in the back end of things to keep that generational thing going, so that when these local guys get done racing or move on, that we can find somebody else to fill in the shoes, and it can keep that program growing and going.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a website, racetoread.org. And you'll see a lot of cool things there, but there's a contact form. And we often will try to even get parents to talk to their schools and say, we want to see these race cars come to our school. A couple times we've been to the Williamstown School, and the first year we went to Williamstown School, we had 71% of the kids read the 15 books. It ended up being an amazing amount. They took the little index cards, and it started going around the classroom. Every book you had an index card.
Uh-huh.
They took this Race to Read program and incorporated it into the whole school philosophy, and those real index cards went around each classroom, out into the halls, around the cafeteria, around the gym. It covered the whole school, and what it did is it made this whole community, like, just come alive about reading. And when we showed back up, we had T-shirts and we had little bracelets. And one of the videos that you go to the racetoread.org, you actually see the Williamstown School. It's pretty amazing.
Wow.
And the kids are the stars. That's the biggest thing, is we're there. We're getting the autographs for the car. But now that's the kids' car. When the kids look out there, that's their car. And they're so proud of it. And that's it's empowering the kids.
Are you going to steal this idea? And I mean, can you use this in other states, other facilities, rip this idea off?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We were just talking about that before we came on with you. I could just see that this could go nationwide for sure. So I'm not going to steal anything.
Do you need like a nationwide spokesperson? Because now that he's out of racing,
I know
he's got a little free time.
I know. And he does have the passion for it. That's what we love about Troy. You know, I do think that it has huge potential. And I think it is something that, you know, once you get it rolling and get it growing, I think that, you know, learning the best practices and how to roll it out. But I think it's got great opportunities ahead.
Yeah. Boy, thanks for not pursuing that question too deeply about what I remembered about elementary school, because it was all kind of revolving around the principal's office.
I know, right? And,
wow. thank you both for coming in. Is there, and it's Race to Read, no S on it. I think
right.
I put an S on it before.
Yep.
Racetoread.org.
That's correct.
How can people find out more about your group, Cheryl?
Yeah, SpeedwayChildrensCharities.org. So, SpeedwayCharities.org is the actual website. And it actually has a link to all 8 of our chapters and our national organization. So you can get all the information about us there.
Are you looking to raise more money, Troy?
No. The biggest thing we want to do now is find the right person to help us with all of our endeavors. So we're putting together a board of directors, and hopefully Ken's going to be on it because I know he has some directorship experience. And
just don't make him the chair.
No, of course not. But the thing is, now we can start going forward. We certainly want to work with all the people out there already established, like Everybody Wins Vermont, the Children's Literacy Foundation. And we want to work with them to help broaden the reach of the kids that they serve and just get the kids excited. But the money hopefully will be used to help get drivers to locations, to get somebody who's going to help us be at the track every week at Thunder Road. I got mm-hmm. crazy ideas of how we could really embellish how to get those kids excited.
You do. Yeah. So, give me one of your craziest ideas.
All right, so wouldn't it be cool if after school ends, you get kids, like at Thunder Road when we race, we get points for the amount of positions that we pass. So like at the end of the year, based on how you did through the season, you get your point championship money.
Yeah, all right.
Why couldn't you get kids involved with that? Get them reading, whether it's at the track or it's at a local little, like up in Hardwick at the local library. You then can have the end of awards ceremony with all these kids reading all summer long. Maybe we can got Phil Scott into taking his race car to pay a visit to a location to teach, you know, to present the kids maybe an award or certificates or something like that to really help the summer program. Mm-hmm. And you can do it at the track. Maybe we can get one of the kids have a little VIP section where all of a sudden they're the person who gets to say, "Lady and gentlemen, start your engine."
Wow.
That's what they're going to remember when they're older. They're not going to remember, you know, specifically a certain book, but they probably remember that great reading experience.
You know, Ken actually offered to let me do that if I'd showed up at Thunder Road this year. He was going to let me, you know, start the thing. And that would have been what I remembered most, 2014.
Yep.
Certainly if it were in elementary school, it might even make me a race car driver, in which case I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today.
You know what? I don't know. Unless you get it to the NASCAR level, even the Thunder Road race car drivers have a day job.
Okay.
Sorry, you'd still be here.
Kind of like Phil Scott. Thank you both for coming in, and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris Davis from Twin City Subaru. Last year, we partnered with the Vermont Food Bank during Subaru's annual Share the Love event. During that event, every new car sold raised $250 for the Vermont Food Bank, providing over 50,000 meals to Vermont families in need.
I'm Judy from the Vermont Food Bank. This year, our goal is $25,000 and will provide 75,000 meals for Vermont families. With your help, we can reach that goal. 100% of funds raised for the food bank stay here and help our neighbors, friends, coworkers, and families in need. Each year, the Vermont Food Bank serves 153,000 Vermonters in need, including 34,000 Vermont children. Together, we can make a difference.
Visit our website at TwinCitySubaru.com for more details. Come on, Vermont, we can raise the bar and meet that goal. Please help the Vermont Food Bank and Twin City Subaru Share the Love event. Help reach our goal, because no child should go to bed hungry in Vermont.
Always on Time Signs and Designs is excited to announce the arrival of Phototex. What is Phototex? It's an adhesive media fabric material that can easily be placed on almost anything and then removed and reapplied over and over again. Here's Deborah Ricker to tell us more.
I'm really excited about Phototex because it won't leave a sticky residue. It doesn't peel, rip, wrinkle, and it's available in any size. Our in-house design service can create most anything you'd like, from wall graphics to computer skins. Phototex is perfect for company and team logos, floor graphics, wall murals, product advertising, and even kids' rooms. We can produce any picture, sign, or poster, and best of all, Phototex is completely removable, green, and very affordable.
Call Always On Time Signs and Designs at 223-8948 or 1-800-547-0808 to find out more about Phototex. Located at 115 Industrial Lane in Berlin. Always On Time Signs and Designs.
I love Hunger Mountain Co-op not only for Mom's Best Toasted Wheatfuls, but especially for its shopping experience mojo with focused and friendly staff. I'm Al Kyman from Middlesex, and I've been a member here at the Co-op for 20 years.
802cars.com represents the top three selling brands in Vermont, just off exit 7 of I-89. 802 Toyota sells Vermont's number one brand. Twin City Subaru sells Vermont's unofficial state car. 802 Honda sells Vermont's number three brand. This is Dave Birmingham, chief cook and dog walker. When you come to any of our dealerships, you'll be able to find the vehicle you want at the price you want. 802cars.com offers what no other dealer can. One-stop shopping for Vermont's top three brands, all just off the interstate. We'll help you find the right vehicle that fits your budget. Don't forget, we're the largest seller of certified used cars in Vermont because we all know the best new cars make the best used cars too. So click on 802cars.com for information on all our great products. Call 229-9117 and speak to one of our low-key product specialists. Drive I-89 to exit 7. We're just a minute off the interstate. 802 Toyota, Twin City Subaru, and 802 Honda. Driving to be Vermont's number one auto solution.
(244) 1777 is our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. Man, I got to figure out a way to bottle that Troy Kingsbury. That guy's a marketable product. No enthusiasm there much. Speaking about enthusiastic, would like to encourage you to remember our friends at Jet Service Envelope. If you have any sort of printing needs that occur this year or next, perhaps. Maybe you are part of a business that creates brochures. Maybe you're trying to entice customers into your business. Maybe you're just part of a nonprofit trying to inform your patrons and those that support you what you're doing out there. A nice little trifold brochure can make that happen for you. Here's the really neat thing. Back in the old days, you had to get this to the point where it was print ready. Now you just create the information that you want to put in the brochure, attach a few photos with that. You send it on over to Jet Service Envelope, and it's just amazing. They just make it happen for you, and at very, very reasonable prices. I would dare say that you put out a nice trifold brochure about what you're doing, you'll get a nice contribution back from one or two of your supporters. Well worth it. It will pay for it. 229-9335 is the phone number. 229-9335. And they're on the web at jetservice-envelope.com. Monday on the program, we're going to talk with the head of the Vermont Chamber of Commerce. Betsy Bishop will be joining us. Actually scheduled this interview before the governor made his announcement earlier in the week about dropping the single-payer health care proposal. So we'll talk with Betsy about that. I know her organization, I think the word relieved might be the operative word. So we'll chat with her on Monday. Coming up Tuesday on the program, we're going to talk about missing children throughout the world. Nice light topic there for you. But what I'm really looking forward to on Tuesday on the program, we're going to be joined by Senator Philip Baruth. And we're not going to be talking politics with Senator Phil on Tuesday. He was one of four people that wrote some pretty wonderful stories that appeared in a Winter Tales exhibit last weekend, put on by the Vermont Stage Company, which is a really excellent organization. And so Phil's story, I thought, was really... Well, I don't want to say it was the best because I might insult somebody else, but I thought it was really good. Let's put it that way. So I asked him if he would come down here to our studios. They had actually a professional person read the story for him, which was kind of cool. He sat in the audience. Must be an interesting experience. But I asked him to come down on Tuesday and read his story for us, which he's going to do, which is about the how the Swedes celebrate Christmas. Phil married a nice Swedish woman, so he'll be joining us coming up on the program on Tuesday. All right, let's head over to Cabot. Tony, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. It took me a while to cool down after Shap Smith's comments.
Oh,
that's why I'm calling so late.
All right, well, why were you so hot under the collar? Maybe you can tie this all together, a nice one big bow here for us as we head towards the end here.
Sure, it all comes down to follow the money. I think, you know, nobody can be so crazy as to think that we should be spending even more money on education. What the point we agree on is we want the best education for our kids, that we can afford. I think that's the difference here. For him to suggest that it's okay to spend what we're spending, and it meant perhaps some more, means either that he's deranged, which I don't believe, or it's his ploy to in order to maintain the votes that come with the teachers' union.
Why, you think he might be running for governor or something?
No, I think he's trying to maintain him for the party, for his party.
Okay, all right.
Not him personally. Right. And this notion of going out and asking people, putting a committee together to get ideas about what to do, suggests either that no one has an idea of where to start, or if they come up with something that's not favored by the teachers' union, he's in a position to say, I really didn't go along with it either, but, this is what people want, so don't take it out on us when the election comes. So keep sending us your contributions to the party, and let's all work together and try to move this forward.
So do you think he's sincere? Do you think he wants to get something done here or not?
I don't think they know where they're going. So to say they want to get something done, I don't know. But why? We constantly try to reinvent the wheel. I have to believe that there's another state that has been wrestling with this problem, that has at least some sort of a basic plan that we could adopt. We might have to fine-tune it, but we don't need to invent the wheel again here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between, and I don't think many people from Montpelier understand the difference between being on the cutting edge of something versus being on the bleeding edge of something.
All right, I'm gonna stop you right there. Thank you for your thanks for the image too. Quick break, back after this.
Happy holidays from Walker Volkswagen on the Barrie Montpelier Road. This holiday season, we are pleased to announce the holiday year-end employee pricing event to all of our current customers and future customers as well. A big holiday thank you from us to you. You pay what we pay for your new Volkswagen, saving you thousands of dollars. We won't be beat on price or payment. Just call, stop by, or go to walkervt.com for your employee price. Then take advantage of 0% financing for up to 60 months on select Volkswagen models and save even more. For consult us on a sign-then-drive lease for as low as $165 with zero down on a European-style, German-engineered Volkswagen. It's the end of another great year, and Walker Volkswagen is determined to finish 2014 with a bang, a big bang. Deeply discounted employee pricing plus generous factory incentives combined to make a new Volkswagen a great holiday surprise. Call, stop by, or click walkervt.com on the Barrie Montpelier Road and join us at the Holiday Year-End Employee Pricing Event.
Happy Holidays!
Managing multiple medications can be difficult, especially when you're juggling multiple refill dates. Introducing EasySync from Kinney Drugs. With EasySync, all your prescription refills will be synchronized so that they're ready on the same day each month. It's easy, it's automatic, and best of all, it's free. Ask your Kinney pharmacist about EasySync and find out how you can manage multiple prescriptions in one simple refill. EasySync from Kinney Drugs. Experience the difference.
All right, safe shopping out there, and please be safe because, yes, we do need each and every one of you back here. Same time, same place on Monday morning. As I mentioned, we'll be talking with the head of the Vermont Chamber of Commerce, Betsy Bishop, will be joining us on the program. And welcome your phone calls as well, too. And have a great weekend. Do come back and join us same time, same place, right here on these fabulous radio stations. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of snowy Sugarbush, FM 96.5 in Barrie and Montpelier, 101.9 in the Northeast Kingdom, and AM 550 WDEV Waterbury Montpelier. News is next.